beautiful. Thank you very much. Well, today on this Tailgate Sunday, we are kicking off a new series that we have titled Facing Your Giants. And in our life, I think we all face things that seem like giants to us. Now, sometimes those things are so big that they seem like giants to everybody. But sometimes they are just things that seem like giants to us. And I've shared with you that before, we're going to share a couple of things about football today, and it's going to be okay. It's the start of the season. You'll get over it. It'll be fine. But we were getting ready. We played our last games of the year. I've told you I'm coaching my son's flag football team, and we've been playing this year, and we had our last two games of the year were yesterday, and we got to play those. And the second team that we were playing was the best team in the league. And they had, I don't know how in the draft, they ended up with more athletes than every other team. I think it's because they had three coaches and everybody else just had one, but it's not like I'm going to write an email to the league or anything I already sent. But they had several coaches, and they even had the same coach for every year, and they had all these playbooks, and they were a really great team, and they are good people, right? Most of the time. We'll get to that later. But we were just, honestly, if the boys were talking about it all week, and mid-year, I even had to tell the boys that they had to stop saying out loud how good the other teams were, right? I had to be like, look, if you want to say you're not having a great day, I'll accept that. But stop saying how good they are. They can hear you, right? Like, but we would go, and we try to be encouraging, of course, of our team and their team. And we were playing, but our boys were literally just intimidated even being there. And then the absolute bottom just dropped out of the sky. I don't know if you were outside around 11-something yesterday, but the bottom just dropped out. Cats and dogs, they were just pouring 5-gallon buckets of water on all of us. I don't know how it was happening. And that's what we played in the midst of. We even had to call it in the middle. And we had to give pep talk after pep talk after pep talk. And the boys were so afraid of playing this other team. And I was like, this is going to be great for my sermon tomorrow, the whole time. But we were there, and we were getting ready, and I'll get back to it in just a little bit. But where I was going was these boys were facing a giant. Now, it was a giant in their minds that they had been dwelling on all week. And sometimes that's what the giants are in our lives. Sometimes they're things that we have dwelled on, that other people have tried to help us get through. But sometimes it's other things that go on in our life, right? We each have giants in our life that we face. And it brings us to this story of David and Goliath today. And we're going to be talking and following the life of David throughout this series over the next little bit. But what we're going to be doing is extremely practical. We're going to be looking and saying, what do we do when we face these giants in our life? How do we survive this? How do we get through this? How do we get to the other side? Who do we surround ourselves with? How do we take inventory of the things that we need to make sure that we can survive what's going on in front of us? Because I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe it's a health concern. Maybe it's your relationship with your spouse or your children. Maybe it's the IRS. I don't know what it might be in your life. But some things seem insurmountable. Some things seem like they're never going to end. And sometimes people say things that they really do mean well, like, you know, God will never give you anything more than you can handle, right? But sometimes we have to look and say, I don't think it was God that gave me this. So does that mean it's something I can't handle? How am I going to get through? My grandmother had a saying, and I love it, and I still use it today, but somebody in the room would say, this too shall pass, right? And she would whisper to herself and loud enough for everyone else to also hear, yeah, but it might be like a kidney stone, right? We're going to jump in, and we're going to hear kind of the beginning of the story of this David and Goliath. And really, we're going to be diving in a little bit deeper today, talking about Goliath, because if we're going to be honest, Goliath is where it starts for us. Now, I hope that we can become Davids. I hope that we can take on some of the characteristics and skill sets and mindset and perspective that David has. But if we're going to be honest, most of us find ourselves in the face that all of the Israelites find themselves, staring at Goliath. The Philistines assembled their troops for war. This is 1 Samuel 17. We're going to jump through this a little bit because it's a longer story. You're welcome to read it as you're pondering this throughout the week. A champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. He was more than 9 feet tall. That's a lot. I don't know if you've ever faced a giant. I've never faced a 9 foot tall one, right? So we get this, it's from this measurement called cubits. And one translation says that he was over six something cubits tall. And when we do the math out from what we understand, it comes out to over 9 feet tall, right? And we tie this back to this idea of the Nephilim, the angels who came down and had children with the women and da, 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 da. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, says he was about four something. So he was over 6 feet tall, which still would have been tall from the time. He was more than 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore bronze scale armor weighing 125 pounds. Now, that's a lot to put on. I got to be honest, right? I thought, how much is 125 pounds? And I think it might be all of my children. Right? Like I was trying to think, how much is this? Like you think about like if you're doing squats or something and putting that weight on there, and maybe that doesn't seem like a big deal, but he's wearing this all over his body. The point we are getting, and if he was 9 feet tall, I'm just over 6 feet tall. So if he was 9 feet tall, he was a whole half of me taller. Right? Just absolutely gargantuan. And before we get caught up on how this human being was 9 feet tall, that's not the point of the story. The point of the story is that he was towering over them. They were cowering in fear. They were looking at someone where it was humanly impossible to beat him. And Goliath knew it. He knew it. He knew he had them. And in the tradition that some have carried forward, he would call out and say, "Send out your best warrior and we will fight and nobody else has to die. But whoever wins, wins all of it. We get all of your people." And here he is mocking them, saying everything he can possibly say to make them want to come out and fight and to honestly make the mistake of sending someone out to fight him. But they are all, well, we can imagine, quivering in their boots. He had bronze plates on his shins and a bronze scimitar? I don't know. Hung on his back. His spear shaft was as strong as the bar of a weaver's loom. And when I tried to find out what that exactly looks like, essentially a 4x4. His spear shaft was like holding the biggest end of like a college baseball bat, sort of almost as big as a 4x4 if we're thinking about it. And his iron head weighed 15 pounds. Y'all ever held like a 9-pound sledgehammer at that angle? Yeah, I mean, it's heavy, but it's not impossible. Well, it's bigger than that, and I'm guessing the spear on top of being on a 4x4. I mean, I don't know. That seems like a lot. His shield bearer walked in front of him. And I love this imagery. They can see all of this on Goliath and see all of it, but they're seeing it because I'm just imagining his shield bearer is so small in comparison, walking right in front of him. He stopped and shouted to the Israelite troops, "Why have you come and taken up battle formations? I am the Philistine champion and you are Saul's servants. Isn't that right? Select one of your men and let him come down against me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, then we will become your slaves. But if I overcome him and kill him, then you will become our slaves and you will serve us. I insult Israel's troops today," the Philistine continued. "Give me an opponent and we'll fight." When Saul and all Israel heard what the Philistine said, they were distressed and terrified. I can imagine that was a little bit of an understatement. They were distressed and terrified. And then catch this. For 40 days straight, the Philistine came out and took his stand both morning and evening. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. He came out for 40 days and took his stand both morning and evening. Now, I always find it interesting what the authors have chosen to include, and they tell us all about his armor and his weapons, and I had this little joke in my head. I was like, he's got some WMDs. Y'all remember when we used to talk about WMDs? Weapons of massive dimensions, right? Like he's got this huge spear, he's got this huge shield and thing on his back, and he's dressed to the nines. I mean, we're talking about he's already 9 feet tall. He's already bigger than anybody we thought we could defeat. He's already a champion. They're this small nation up on the hill, and they knew this other nation was growing down by the ocean, and eventually their resources were going to conflict. This day has been coming, but they have been watching. I guarantee you, they have heard of Goliath before he got there that day, right? We think about the spies going into the promised land and saying, it's full of giants. It's full of all this stuff. We shouldn't go, but it takes one to be like, no, God has given this to us. It can be done. Now, sometimes, I don't know if it's more terrifying or easier when we have something to personify this giant in our life, when we have something to hate against. I mean, we do that throughout our cultural lives together. We take an idea that we can't really get a handle on, and we like to find a person to blame it on, and we have this understanding of who Goliath is, and there's this person they can weep in fear over. I remember when I was playing high school football, and when I was in 10th grade, we had to be the scout team. We had to learn the other team's offense and defense, go watch film early in the morning, and then pretend to be that team so that our first team could just pummel us for 4 hours every night. And me and my friends, we used to almost, and sometimes we actually did, go throw up in the bathroom before we had to go to football practice because we knew they were going to just pummel us. We had streaks going up our helmets where their numbers had smeared us and marked us. And we would go up against some of these guys who eventually went on to play college football, and they just, in love, the only thing they really loved to do in life was cause us pain. It seemed to be their greatest joy. And I remember the pit of the stomach feeling. I remember wanting to quit every day. I remember when it began time for them to start circulating us in that we, if this was the coach, we all started moving a little further and a little further so that when he turned around and grabbed one of us by the face mask, it was somebody who wasn't paying attention and therefore deserved it, right? But I'm imagining Saul sitting on his horse, and Saul, we've already have been told that he's a larger guy, a handsome guy. It looks like who a king should be, but I imagine the men around him begin to shirk and to shrink. Because Saul could look at them and say, you go and fight Goliath. It's not a big deal. If you lose, we all become slaves again. And God's promise to us apparently doesn't come true. And your name will be written down in the books as the one who lost. And your family will be disgraced throughout all time. He could have turned and pointed and sent one of them. He could have gone himself. But they didn't. Now, when we think of Goliath, and you know, even if you've never been to church before, you've heard people talk about the story of David and Goliath, the little guy, and we'll get to how he won. But then we've got this big guy. But we've faced Goliaths in our life. Maybe you've made it through some of them. You think about the conflicts that you've had with individuals. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's just somebody on the street. I don't know what it might have been. Maybe somebody trying to take over your business. We talk about the habits that we just can't break. We think about, excuse me, the failures in our lives that seem to continue having consequences after consequences after consequences. We think about illness. Whether there's something that's going to take a lot to get over or something that just keeps hanging on. Maybe our giant is even a future that we just don't think we can face. Maybe our giant is a secret that nobody else knows, but it weighs on you every day that they will find out. Each of us carries giants. As we look down into verse 19, it begins back. They are with Saul and the Israelite troops fighting the Philistines in the Elah Valley. Now, just a little bit of a preface. Israel is not a rich nation. They have money and things that a kingdom needs, but they're not a big nation. They weren't able to gather their own food, so the families would gather food to take to their soldiers. Does that make sense? And so at this point in our story, David is at home because he's the youngest and the smallest, and he's tending the sheep. And so he has to get together the food, and he asks, where are they now? Because I've got to take the food to them. And chances are strong that some of what was going on had gotten back to him. Verse 20 says, so David got up early in the morning, left someone in charge of the flock, and loaded up and left, just as his father Jesse had instructed him. He reached the camp right when the army was taking up their battle formations and shouting the war cry. Now we see that they have already decided not to face Goliath. They will face Goliath in battle together as a people, which we can see to be honorable, but they would rather send all of their men into battle than send one to face Goliath. Their military strategy has been set. Israel and the Philistines took up their battle formations opposite each other. David left his things with an attendant and ran to the front line. When he arrived, he asked how his brothers were doing. Right when David was speaking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came forward from the Philistine ranks and said the same things he had said before. And I love this little small section of this verse that comes last, and it just says, David listened. Now, again, this is a Stephen thinks. I got to imagine David had heard about what was happening already. Whether it was back home or whether it was when he came to the front lines, I'm sure he had heard about what Goliath was doing and saying and why they were going to battle and wondering why they weren't going out to face Goliath. And this small little shepherd boy, young man, like a teenager, bebops in and thinks he can do it better than everybody else. And all these hardened men who had trained and who knew what they were going up against might be more than they can handle. But I love that David listened, because it shows us that David took stock of the problem. And I think that's a lesson that we can take away from this. You see, sometimes we see a problem and we just see the problem and we feel it in our hearts and we see it as our giant and we let that giant just sit there and loom there. But I think a lesson we can take away from David and Goliath is that David examined it. David pulled it out from the cupboard, so to speak, and began to look at it and trying to understand it. And David, we believe, began to notice something. Goliath looked pretty big and dumb. He was wearing a whole lot of armor. I bet he doesn't move fast, right? And it's been a theme throughout biblical history that the small and the wiry and the crafty always seem to outwit the big and the strong and the powerful. But we saw all of the other men getting ready to go into battle, and they watched this giant standing opposite of them. And all they could see was the problem. But I think when David gets there, he begins to see it clearly. He's able to make an assessment of himself. He's able to make an assessment of Goliath. And he's able to make an assessment of who God is in the midst of these conflicts. Because you see, seeing the problem clearly doesn't mean it should be the only thing you see. Now, I don't know about you, but I can relate to this. There are some problems that happen in our life, and they are the only thing we can see. We can't see the good that could come. We can't see the possibilities. We can't see the other roads. All we see is sure and certain defeat. I remember the doctor saying, it's brain cancer. We sent it to the tumor board. You're having surgery as soon as there's a spot. And I got to be honest with you. It was all I could see. I couldn't see a solution. I couldn't hear encouragement. I couldn't see another side. I believe that my family and that you and that other people who surrounded me, but in the midst of my Goliath for this little season of my life, I couldn't see anything else. It was night and day. It was stress on my back constantly. I smiled and pretended like I was doing my life, but the honest truth is while you were talking, I wasn't listening. Yesterday, with my little dudes playing flag football. We had a lightning strike, not, you know, far away, but still we had to clear the field, and we came back, and when we came back, we played five, and I had six who were there, and when we came back, we only had four. The other two had mothers that were there. The other four had dads that were there. I'm sorry, but it's true. And so we had these four guys, and the other team had their eight, their full team. They could only play five at a time. And it was pouring. I mean, it was just pouring. And it was 75, but it was cold when we were out there getting soaked. I mean, we were soaked down to the undergarments, our shoes. I would watch the boys. When they would run, water would shoot out of their shoes. And I thought it was splashing out of the ground, but it wasn't. It was literally squirting out of their shoes because they were just so waterlogged. And they were standing there before every play just going like this. And I was like, somebody's going to get the flu, and I'm going to have to deal with this, right? Like, this is going to be a whole thing for a while, and it's going to be my fault. And I looked over at their dads, and I was like, this is now your fault if you let them play, right? And so I remember giving them, like, they didn't want to play. And I remember at one point they were so demoralized from the other team. The other team continued to play their five, even though we had four. And I'm just going to tell you, the other team was the Steelers. Right? And there's a reason that the Steelers only have their logo on one side of their helmet. It's because half the time they don't want people to know what they're doing. Right? I told the one Steeler jersey that I had a Steeler joke today and he'd be okay, and he said he would be. And I remember I pulled them together at this moment and I gave them this pep talk and I was like, you know, have you never tasted glory? This is gonna be glory. You're going to be able to talk about this for the rest of your lives. You know, your grandparents didn't survive the Titanic for you to quit in the middle of this Little League flag football game. Like, let's get it together. You're going to remember this. You're never going to forget this. And they, you know, I was getting amped up, and I was like, and I said, so now, do you want to play or do you want to forfeit? And in unison, those four boys said, forfeit. And I said, too bad you can't. We're on defense. Get to the line. Dadgummit, right? We got mercy ruled, but that's beside the point. But honestly, I felt the same. When they said forfeit, I almost yelled forfeit to the refs. And we're playing flag football on a beautiful day in a free country, and it's just raining a little bit. It's really no big deal in the grand scheme of things, right? We were a little cold, but they all survived as far as I know. But I can tell you, there were times when I wanted to quit this last year. I remember sitting in the little triage before they take you back for surgery. And if you've ever been in one of those rooms, you know. And they come back, and I remember the doctor coming in to talk to me and to tell me, you know, we're going to do this thing, and I think he was there to encourage me. But the little monitor to the side that monitors your heart rate and blood pressure and everything, you know, when he walked in, it was going beep, beep, and then he started to talk, and it went beep, 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 and he was like, we have a shot for that, and he called his nurse in. But I want you to know that I know what it's like to want to quit. And I think you face moments like this too, with your health, with your loved ones, your children, your spouse, with your business, with whatever it might have been, your finances, whatever it is. You may have stood on the other side of fields of battle and had Goliath-type moments. We understand what it is to want to quit. You see, this story of David and Goliath, it leaves out a little thing it doesn't tell us. And it's that just a couple chapters before this, Daniel gets anointed to become king of Israel by Samuel, right? But they don't address this in this story. And if we're being honest, This David versus Goliath is really just a small little slice to help us understand David versus Saul for the whole rest of that chapter. Goliath is somewhat of a caricature of Saul and the relationship that they will have. But you see, God's spirit was already upon David. Now, we might not have been anointed by a prophet like Samuel, you and I. But we were told at the very beginning that God's spirit was already with us. We were told by Jesus Christ that God's spirit would be with us everywhere that we go. And so before we get to how David eventually becomes this story of David and Goliath, I want you to hear a couple of things as you're going through your week. And I don't know what giants you may be facing. If you think to yourself right now, I'm not really facing any giants, I want you to find some of the people you know in their life that are facing giants, and I want you to assist them. I want you to be with them. But it's time to take stock, to look across the battlefield and to see Goliath for who he is. To take stock of the weapons that he holds and the size and all that it is that faces you. And then you're going to have to move from seeing that problem to making sure that it's not the only thing that you see, because we can't become David. We can't become a miracle if the problem is all that we see. And we've got to realize that God's spirit is with us. And the other thing we find, and David voices this as we get into next week, but these giants are sometimes an affront to God. This giant is an affront to God. It is an offense. And sometimes we are the people that God uses, small and wiry and hopefully clever, to stand up to the big things that are going on in this world. And when we think we are too weak, whether it's a hospital bed or a bank statement or whatever it might be, we find all throughout Scripture that God is on the side of the weak. Now, some of our giants may be of our own doing, and that takes a special kind of facing the giant in our life, because sometimes that giant mistake is me or us or you. We take stock of our giant. We begin to realize that it can't be the only thing that we see. We realize that God is with us. Sometimes these giants are an affront to God. That God is on the side of the weak. And like Miss May pointed out this morning, deliverance comes from the Lord. We have all of the Psalms of David telling us about this. When we need help, where does my help come from? Now, we've all heard the story of David and Goliath for the most part. If you haven't, this week is going to be a little bit of a cliffhanger. Don't Google it. We'll finish it up a little bit next week. Does David win? Do the people of Israel survive? Can this giant be defeated? And my question is, can yours? Can you stand up to it? Can you face it and take stock of it, no matter what it calls for? Can you? As we go throughout this series, we are going to take practical steps to begin address those giants in our life. And so you don't have to tell your neighbor or anything like that. We're not going to make you write it in a card or something. But I want you to think about the giants that you face in your life. And this week, before we come back together next week, feel free to write it down somewhere if you want to and begin to take stock of it, to look at it and begin to understand it as wholly as you can, to pull the statements out, to get into that relationship and say all the things that need to be said, to figure out what it is that makes up this Goliath of yours. And we're going to start to look at this story of David over the next several weeks, starting with Goliath, but moving into other phases of his life as well. Sometimes David's Goliaths are his own doing, just like ours. And we're going to take the practical approach of figuring out what to do. So this week, take stock and start moving to the place where that giant isn't the only thing you can see. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you are with us. God, there are difficult things in our lives to face. There are things that we may not think we can get through. There may be things sitting in our hearts right now that nobody even knows about, and we're just praying that they don't find out. Lord, help us to face these giants. Help us to take stock, to know that you are with us even when the giants are from outside of us and even when they are from within, that you are there too. Lord, give us the strength this week to take stock and the perseverance and the courage to do so. And help us to come back next week ready to stand up to those giants in our lives. In your son's name we pray. Amen.